Hey everybody, welcome to a very special edition of Friday Filibuster. This is Dave Johnson joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
And like I said, a very, very special edition. So instead of our typical ambush topic what have you watched lately type of routine, we decided to devote this episode, which I doubt is going to run very long, but to the wonder and the splendor that is 21 Jump Street. And not the movie, we're talking about the TV show that aired on the Fox Network. When did this thing air again?
87, I believe.
So in the was really kind of one of the main shows that kept the network afloat, I think.
Oh, totally.
Way back when. So it was very much the halo to Fox. It was their killer app that kind of kept them going. And I do remember being edgy and controversial and interesting and cool way back when. And I guess the question is, how has it aged nearly 20 years later? And we bring this up just because Mac has been doing an ongoing revisit of 21 Jump Street, and I reviewed most of the seasons way back when. So, and we've hinted at it here and there, but hey, it's just the two of us. Why not kill some time talking about 21 Jump Street? So I guess the first question to you, Mac, after revisiting the show for the first time since whenever, what were your takeaways?
Well, it was always one of my favorite shows when I was younger. It was appointment viewing.
Correct.
Just because, I mean, it was high school and it was cops and it was both edgy and it was funny. And
it was the first time I heard the word ass said on television. I have a distinct memory of that. I said, whoa, what is going on here?
Revisiting it now. Well, it's Stephen J. Cannell. I mean, he was definitely the TV writer of the 1980s.
Correct.
And it's because he had the talent. He knew stories, he knew characters. So even on a show as goofy as 21 Jump Street got in it, and it had its goofy moments, it really respected the characters. And that's kind of why I wanted to do the blog. I'm rewatching. Basically, on the blog, every week I'm doing one episode.
And this is on MacMcIntyre.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm
plug-in.
Thanks. I'm getting close to the end of the second season. So we haven't gotten into Booker or any of that stuff yet. So we remember the show as being really dated and really goofy and campy and a lot of just of the time with just constant 80s references. But even with all of that going on, it was still, it's still the characters are kind of what we respond to, Johnny Depp plays Hanson, who begins the series as this really uptight, straight-laced cop.
That's right. Detective Tommy Hanson. And mm-hmm. Very straight-laced. It doesn't have the, hairsprayed coiffure he was known for, right?
Like not at the beginning.
His hair was parted. He was buttoned up, absolutely.
Yeah, he was so straight-laced and uptight and just the goody-goody cop that it's through Jump Street. I guess we should start at the beginning. The premise of the show is a group of young-looking cops are sent in to go undercover in high schools and disguise themselves as teenagers.
Yes.
But they're not narcs, remember. They're going after the big crimes.
Correct.
So that's the premise. And, Hanson's the straight-laced goody-goody cop, but throughout the course of the series, he gradually evolves from being, the good cop to just sort of the bad boy.
That's right.
And we see that evolution throughout.
Now, do you think that was the organic flow of the narrative or the fact that Johnny Depp quickly became kind of a national sex symbol?
Teen idol. It was Johnny Depp in 21 Jump Street. He was definitely a teen idol. I'd say a little kind of half and half. They hint at it in the very first episode where, they have to teach him to be a bad boy or a bad kid. And let's see here. And they have recurring characters, but him and his partner / best friend is Doug Penhall, who's Peter DeLuise. And they would sometimes go undercover as these brothers who were the school's troublemakers. And so even with that, the McQuaid brothers.
Ah, yeah.
And it was through that persona of the McQuaid brothers really I think he'll, you know, bring out Hanson's bad side.
And let's so let's flesh out the rest of the group as well. So
sure.
Who else is let's run them down.
Yeah, Penhall is – there's Hanson, there's Penhall.
Yes.
He's
kind of the
sort
jokey
of
meathead.
The joker, the tough guy, the muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one who keeps getting put in, you know, ridiculous situations. You know, he wants to go undercover on the football team, but instead they put him undercover on the chess team, and it's wacky.
It is wacky.
And he has all kinds of girlfriends, and he's definitely living the party life. And he's the one who had to teach Hanson how to eat potato chips. Because in the first episode, Hanson was eating potato chips one at a time, and Penhall told him, no, teenagers, they reach into the bowl with their hands, and they pull out huge clumps of potato chips in their hand and stuff them in their mouth. Okay. That's how teenagers eat potato
chips.
And
we would assume that Tommy Hanson never was a teenager at some point?
I don't know.
So, like, he was kind of like a multiplicity.
Oh, no, wait.
He was kind of pressed out of a, you know, like a pancake batter as a fully grown.
Hanson's dad was a cop
who
died. And here we get into the, you know, the show loves its tearjerkers. And it's really sentimental stuff. So Hanson's dad was a cop
yes.
who died on Hanson's prom night.
Oh, brutal.
Yes. The tragedy, the heartache. You know, all the teenagers watching this in the 80s were reaching for their handkerchiefs for the tears. And so that Hanson had to grow up quick after that.
Yes. Too quick, some people would say. Too quick.
Yeah.
All right, so Penhall, Hanson.
Hanson. We have Detective Judy Hoffs.
That's right, the lovely and talented what's-her-face.
now I'm blanking.
That's right. She's in The View now, right? Or was she on the ripoff of The View? I can't remember which. Holly Robinson.
No, she's Holly Robinson Pete.
Yes.
Yeah, Holly Robinson. Big hair back in the 80s.
Yep.
But she wasn't alone in that, but definitely big hair. She was introduced as sort of the tough girl.
Correct.
But she definitely, developed her softer side as it went on. There's a two-part episode in the second season where she and Penhall got it on.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. But they decided at the end to just be friends.
That's good. That's good.
And then rounding out the group, you have Harry Truman Aoki.
Yes.
Aoki for short. Who's an immigrant who is revealed to be Vietnamese.
Correct.
In the second season in the tear-jerking Christmas episode.
Did we get a special Vietnam episode? Like, did we
yes.
have a flash? Was that with the flashback?
That was the Christmas episode. Was also the Vietnam flashback episode.
Yeah, that was something. Yeah.
And
what's an 80s show without some Vietnam references, for sure.
Right. That was kind of cool, though, because it was based on actor Dustin Nguyen's, if I'm saying that right, on his real-life immigration from Vietnam.
Ah, there you go.
So they added some biographical information into it. See, you know, as goofy as the show was, they did a lot that was right.
In martial artistry.
In martial artistry, yeah, and psychology.
Look at that.
He was meeting with the police psychologist, and he would talk the talk back at the psychologist, and he would start analyzing the shrink. That was pretty cool. In the early days, we had Chief Jenko.
That's right. He got replaced.
Who was the aging hippie?
That's right. That guy sucked. He really sucked. I hated him.
He played in a band, and he and the other guys would play baseball inside the police station. They were using the police batons as bats.
real professional environment there, especially for officers who are going undercover into high schools.
But that actor, he had huge disagreements with the producers, and they wrote him out of the show right quick.
That's excellent. I really kind of – I tend to enjoy it when that happens, when a snooty, up-his-own keister actor is like, I'm going to do that, and they get canned. It's not bad.
Yeah, and he was replaced by the awesome Stephen Williams as Captain Fuller.
Like, really one of, like, and no joking, no jokes yet, one of my favorite police chiefs or police sergeant, you know, authority types on TV. Just everything you want, you know, like everything you wanted in a police chief there. I guess he's the chief, the captain rather, right?
Right. He's when we first meet him, he's like really intimidating, just dressed all in black, these big old shades on.
Yeah, I think that in the opening credits, right?
Yeah, and, but looks later
like,
on
– he does look like the Terminator.
Yeah. And so he's real tough. He's real no-nonsense. But, you know, again, as episodes progress, we get to know him a little better. He starts to crack a few jokes, and he busts out a Cosby sweater in one episode, which I thought was hilarious. And But he's a really well-rounded character. You know, he's tough, but he's common sense, you know. And he does have our cops' backs.
That's true.
And I guess like I said, I'm on the second season right now, so we haven't gotten to Booker yet. We'll have to revisit this discussion once Booker comes around. There's a lot to say about Booker.
There is, yeah, controversial character. I mean, yeah, when he and I did not review the season where it was all Booker all the time. Oh, wait, I'm trying to remember here. No, I did. I didn't review the season where Booker and Hanson were kind of sharing the spotlight as the bad boys, right?
Right.
So Greco and Johnny Depp. So now you're watching these on Netflix, right?
I actually have bought the DVDs.
Oh, good. Okay. The commentaries are definitely worth listening to.
Yes.
Like they're not frequent, so there's only a couple. But Peter DeLuise really lets a lot of behind the scenes info. Spill, my favorite being that Johnny Depp would regularly stuff socks down his trousers.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Wow. And the actors would go out drinking at night and partying, and because they had to show up at the set for the next day, they would just crash right there on the set, like inside the little cots in the jail cells.
Oh, great.
Just nice. Spend the night there.
Again, highly professional, reflective of Jenko. Himself. All right, as you're rewatching this, what are some of the more potent issue-driven episodes that you've
You know, I'm breaking each episode down into different categories and different points that are in each episode, and one is how everything is torn from today's headlines.
Yes.
And which is one of the most famous aspects of the show. They would take the current issues of the day and, you know, make the most of them, turning them into episodes. So, boy, where do we get? One of the very first episodes was the Russian exchange student. This was the final days of the Cold War.
Christ.
So that was pretty funny. You know, she dislikes America, dislikes Americans, and all the Americans don't like her. But Hoff's took her to the mall. And one trip to the mall was, you know, that made peace between America and the Russians.
Let's see, I'm trying to remember. It may have been in the ass episode itself, but there's a very special episode of a kid who was getting bullied. He had like a speech impediment, I think. And then he got a gun that exploded in his hand before he can blow away the bully or something like that.
Haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, okay. I do recall that one being quite powerful, for sure. I think, did you get any AIDS episodes?
Yes, the AIDS episode was rather brutal.
It was. I mean, a lot of like, I'm going to get AIDS because I drank this guy's milk. Or something like that, you know. Like,
they do the big speech about, oh, you can't get AIDS.
That's right. I felt like I heard that speech in all of my, important after-school dramas growing up there. Yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing we all heard in health class back in the day. We heard it, had to hear it from Jump Street as well.
That's right. But
the problem with the AIDS episode was that instead of taking the topic and trying to be, you know, tasteful and sensitive about it, instead it decided they were going to be extreme and just in your face about it. You know, they're just going to shock audiences. And that was the wrong approach to take, because watching it now, it's just like, oh, man, what are you guys doing?
Like, you're embarrassed for everyone involved with it, right?
Right.
Now, we're going to go fast forward. One of my all-time – probably my all-time favorite Jump Street. This is season 5 now. Now we're talking about the McCann episodes. I know his name. Hold on a second. Michael Bandetti or something like that, right? Michael Bandetti, who, according to a Peter DeLuise soundtrack, he has a very successful business where he brings in portable movie screens to sets for people to watch movies or something. So good job, Michael Bandetti. But anyway, that was the quintessential 80s fear-mongering episode of Satan Worshippers. One of my favorites. He gets involved in a satanic cult. And I believe he even makes love to the satanic mistress on a satanic altar. So, yeah, that was pretty hardcore.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, it was just some kind of rinky-dink operation that had to do with drugs or something, but still. Yeah. Satanism.
Yeah. Drugs gets a lot of play in these first two seasons.
Obviously, right.
The very first episode, one of the first things that happens is we actually see a kid shooting up on screen. That was like, wow, how'd they get away with that on television?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Lots of drugs, and there's an episode that took place in rehab where Hanson was undercover in rehab.
I do recall that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The drug dealers all carrying beepers, and the principal having to confiscate all the beepers. That was a good one. Teen Drinking was a good one.
That's right.
And the drinking and driving. They covered all the bases. Yeah.
So when do you think things kind of got away from them? Like at some point, it's hard to carry that premise forward, right? Like the old joke, how many possible high schools can they infiltrate? You know, and thank goodness there's no social media around at the time. But from what you've been watching, does it seem like they're struggling to piece the stories together?
Kind of. Let's see. Wait, I just saw it here. So season 2, episode 5, which was appropriately named After School Special. that was the episode in which I had to stop and say, okay, just how big is Jump Street's jurisdiction?
Right, correct.
Because this was the fourth time in the show's run that the cops had gone undercover in the really bad school, even though every time it was a different really bad school.
Right.
So it's like, how, you know, and I've been trying to figure out where this took place. The show was filmed in Vancouver. I always assumed it was L.A.
I know. It's like Springfield Simpsons, right?
It's like, it is. No, it's the city police department or the metropolitan police department. They never really say. So.
I wonder if 21 Jump Street is really like a fantasy show or something, or sci-fi, like Sliders. They could go through maybe. This portal. Over
That'd
over
be
again.
Awesome.
Now, did you watch – I do believe there was a special steroids episode where Pennell was able to realize his meathead glory and join the football team. Did you see that one?
Let's see. Yes. I'm trying to remember that one. But that episode was titled, How Much Is That Body in the Window?
Oh, great.
It was the track team.
really? No. Pennell joined the track team? I'm sure there's a football episode, I thought.
Maybe. Because he's undercover with the track team. He has to take the steroids because not taking them is going to blow his cover.
Of course.
And so while he's doped up on steroids, then he's got energy to spare and he's running around the Jump Street Chapel. And we'll get to the chapel in a minute. But he's running around the Jump Street Chapel all super hyper. And and that's when we get to the big steroids are bad speech. Yes. Yeah. And I also like that one because Hoff's is also the girls, the gymnasts were into the steroids too. So we crossed gender lines and Hoff's went undercover as a teen tutor for one of the gymnasts. And we know she was a tutor because she had on her little smart girl glasses and a little flat skirt.
Impenetrable disguise. Yes.
But they got bonus points on that episode for not including the words roid rage. Showed up on every TV show about steroids. Oh, he's got roid rage. But, 21 Jump Street sidestepped that one.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so let's talk about the chapel as we head towards the conclusion of this podcast.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the show, what's kind of really made it sort of fun and quirky and different, was that the police station is a renovated old church. Mm. And so there's big, like, it's really visually interesting because there's these huge stained glass windows in the background, which made for a lot of, like, moody lighting. And then the high school teenage stuff with, like, Pennell running around meant there's lots of, really sort of fun interactive stuff for the actors. It's like I told you about the baseball. They've got a basketball hoop inside the church.
Right.
So that, when it's after hours, they're sitting around playing basketball. They're like, and I'm always just fascinated with these little details in the background of the Jump Street Chapel. There's pinball machines. There's a bunch of mannequins with these crazy outfits on. There's a big neon sign that says hot.
Special. They take the side of today's special and film it.
Yeah. There's a big old neon sign that says hot dogs for like no reason.
That's great. I didn't notice that. That's, I would buy that on eBay.
And I'm always having fun just pointing out the little subplots that are going on there inside the chapel. And of course, we've also got to mention Blowfish, who's the Jump Street's janitor, who is the comic relief, always whining about his wife and his in-laws back home.
And he got his name because he can, like, do that weird blowfish thing on some glass with his mouth.
Yeah, he would put a piece of glass up to his mouth and like, do that sort of suction cup thing so it looks like his face was all puffed up.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, so, really a magical show, like, super-duper 80s. And it was really, as they really pushed towards the finish line, you know, they were, so they did start phase, because they, I mean, there was no way they could sell that, like, Peter DeLuise looked like a high school student by the season five, you know? Like,
right.
No chance. So they actually had his younger brother step in for him at some point.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of cast changes went down in season five.
Right. I think, so Johnny Depp left in season four, I guess? He was in like one episode or something from season
four. Yeah, I think he did like just a few episodes. I don't remember because I'm not at that point yet.
I think Richard Grieco may have taken over on that one, and then five they kind of clean. Like I think five was like an Airwolf season.
Yeah, they got rid of everybody and brought in a bunch of new characters.
That's right. They chopped the budget. Like they just totally chopped down the budget. So,
I actually haven't bought five yet. I only have the first four seasons on DVD, so I don't know if I'm gonna just not do five or what. But
yeah.
We'll deal out with that again.
You need to, just for the Satan episode. It really should be.
Bad. That's true. That's true. I got to see that one.
The Satan episode alone.
But yeah, as far as the premise goes, they, as I recall, and we can revisit this in future episodes of the podcast, but as I recall, they kept up the high school premise pretty much throughout all the stuff with Booker. And then it was around season four, they started getting more into college type shows. There was an episode about, like, hazing. I remember that one.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the spring break episode is epic. I can't wait to get to the spring break episode. When I found out it wasn't until season four, I was like, oh, man, that's so far away.
I know, but you're doing God's work, so you got to keep up with it.
So, and then they just started doing more and more shows. It was just random undercover cop stuff without the high school. Right. And I think that was kind of the end of it.
I think so.
Because it lost the novelty. It lost what made it unique. So yeah, the show, I mean, it's really cheesy, it's really campy, it's really dated, but somewhere in between, there's a weird kind of alchemy there in its cheesiness and its datedness and its campiness that makes it just really entertaining. And the characters are really likable, they're really consistent, and the character work throughout the show is really strong. And that's definitely Stephen J. Cannell's influence.
Yeah.
So it's great fun, and I encourage everyone to, especially if you've only seen the movie, the Jonah Hill movie, definitely go back and revisit the original series because there's a lot of fun to be had.
Absolutely. So, I guess with that said, I think that concludes our very special 21 Jump Street two-person podcast here. So thanks for tuning in, and tune into MacMcIntyre.com, right, .com.
Yep.
So it is for the ongoing excellent 21 Jump Street retrospective, and we should return next week with our original slate of programming, or our slate of original programming, or our slate of programming that we've done every week for 4 years. So, that being said, Mac, take us away.
Down on Jump Street.